And by the way, we have the Patrick Byrne. Patrick Byrne, welcome to the MG show, my friend.
Patrick!
Hey, hello, Shady Groove. Hello, Jeff. How you guys doing?
Man, oh, we are shot out of a cannon. We've got, you know, we've got your movie, The Deep Rig, coming out tomorrow. I've secured my ticket, and I cannot wait to see that. We also have a Trump rally tomorrow, and you know, we've got all this stuff happening in the news. We've got George Floyd is going to be sentenced today. We've got other distractions out there, like the Collins Avenue building. We've got John McAfee who didn't kill himself possibly. But you know, we're here to talk to you about the Deep Rig and any other thoughts that you want to talk about, any booms that you want to deliver right here on the MG show, since you're a big friend of the MG show. Thank you for coming, sir.
Well, it's an honor to be on with you again, with both of you. Any big booms? Well, we are in a very funny point. I will give you my strategic read. We are on the beach at Omaha.
Nice.
They held us in our landing. They held our first wave. They've been shellacking us now for months from all sides. But to their surprise, they have not driven us off the beach. We've held. And I really give great credit and appreciation to everyone who for so many months kept their hopes up, kept their spirits up, looked at the data, and didn't let these goons in the mainstream try to gaslight you or demoralize you. But we did that as we prepared a great big artillery barrage against the Hun, against the fascists. And that the first shell lands tomorrow at about 5 p.m. Phoenix time. Well, I'd say my book might have been the book may have been the landing, but it didn't, you know, it just got us ashore. The big barrage starts tomorrow. In July and August, there's going to be a massive artillery barrage. And I think that you're going to be hearing us call Dog One is open. We're off the beach and we're marching to Berlin. This whole thing is going to be inverted in the next 60 days, 70 days. And it needs to be. Because I believe that the goons are going to go full goon after Labor Day. There's a lot of signs that point to after Labor Day, they plan on going full goon. Exemplar gratis. In early May, they announced a 100-day review of the military for white supremacism. I know. I've known a lot of military people. I don't recall ever meeting any David Duke or anyone who had any point of view that was in the faintest bit reminiscent of a David Duke, but they're having a 100-day review of the military. My suspicion is they're going to come back after the 100 days and say, we've discovered that the military is rife with white supremacists and we have to strip out or re-educate or something, or at least intimidate people into a new set of beliefs. And they're going to do that. So their goal is to have a military that will fire on the American people. Right now, we do not have a military that will fire at Americans, but they're going to try to change that. So we really have about 60 to 70 days to make it, to win this from an informational war point of view. And I think we're going to. I think by the time they come back from Labor Day, they will be, you know, anyone with a room temperature IQ will see what they're doing. It will be what they did do, what is completely transparent. I can't vouch for things then. I do have a great hope to get through this peacefully. And I see a way we can get through this peacefully. And nobody even has to go to jail in my mind. Nobody even has to go to jail. This is so bad what has happened that what this is going to require is something called a truth and reconciliation process. We're not going to go put 1,000 people in jail. But anyway, that's where we are. And this movie that comes out tomorrow is a very big, I think it changes the whole pace of the battle. That's my synopsis.
That's very interesting because, you know, we've got all these, you know, folks, you know, in fact, Dr. Kelly Ward actually kind of said, hey, you know, maybe the supervisor of elections, maybe they didn't get all of the, you know, evidence of saying that it was not a secure and factual election. You know, maybe they just didn't have all the information. That's why we're doing the secure and forensic audit here in Arizona. I mean, we almost gave, you know, the Board of Supervisors an out that they could have taken, but they decided not to take that.
Yeah. Well, they're guilty and they know they're guilty, which is why in December, in January, they were saying yes, or February, they were saying, yes, yes, we'll cooperate. We're totally open. We'll cooperate. The moment the Arizona Senate took them up on it and said, okay, yes, we would like to look at these things. The guys went up, lured out, up, shut down all cooperation, lied. We now know from what's already been released by Ms. Fan, Senator Fan in Arizona, they delivered 2.1 million ballots without any real chain of custody. They got a chain of custody from the Maricopa office over to the stadium where the votes are being looked at. But the entire chain of custody from the precincts and the counties up to the state, as far from the letter that's in the public, it looks like that was all wiped out. And also, you know, the cyber guys, what are their names? Not Cyber Ninjas, the other group, Cypher, who I will repeat, the goons, well, we'll go through the debunking of the debunking if you want, but that Cypher group, which is a DHS certified cyber team, a HURT team, a hunt and incident response. So when the DHS has a problem and needs an elite group, that's who they bring in. That group has said, these folks erased some database. And now the Maricopa guys came out and they gave this very cryptic kind of dancing guy answer about, well, it depends on what we mean by erase. And it depends on what you mean by database. And we're not going to answer any more questions. So there's so much. It's like dealing with 10-year-old and even 7-year-old. You know, when you deal with kids and they're lying, but they're too young to figure it out that how transparent it is when they're lying. That's what I feel. That's where we are. I mean, some of these guys, one of these Maricopa County, you know, here's what really interests me. After the state Senate issued the subpoena and became clear it was going through, the next day, Maricopa County Election Board, in the back of their building, some dumpster divers came up with great big sacks of shredded 2020 ballots. And that same evening, one of the election board supervisors, I always block on his name. It's a name like, pardon me, it's a name like Dirk Diggler, but it isn't Dirk Diggler. It's Dirk Dick or something like weird like this. Anyway, that guy goes out to his ranch. He's on the Maricopa County election board. The day after it becomes clear they're facing subpoenas, he goes out to his ranch and he has a big fire on his ranch. So big, it got out of control and the fire engine showed up. And I have it from one of the firefighters who was on his ranch that he was out instructing the firefighters, do not put out this fire, let it burn.
Wow.
So, you know, at some point it's like dealing with 7-year-olds who are lying, 8-year-olds, and they think that we're not going to put these pieces together. It's just getting kind of silly. However, how that will manifest itself, maybe the guy was just burning some trash. But if they were out there burning ballots, and if those dumpster divers, in fact, came up with shredded 2020 ballots, as they did, how that's going to show up is instead of delivering 2.1 million votes, which is what they are legally, they said we got 2.1 million votes, and this is how they break out, and they signed that, and that's all delivered. Suppose there aren't, if that is true, that those people shredded ballots and burned ballots at a ranch, how that's going to manifest itself is they're not going to have 2.1. When we count the votes, they won't be 2.1 million. It'll be 2.09 million or 2.08 million. Did they burn 10,000? Did they burn 20,000? Did they burn 30,000? Well, that's a crime. Those are state and federal crimes because it was a federal election. If they delivered to the government, we had X many votes and they broke out Y and Z, Biden and Trump. At the end of the day, if it turns out they don't have X ballots, if they have X minus some significant number, not one or two, but 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, they committed serious felonies. They can't just report anything they want to report. They have to have the ballots. If they don't have the ballots, which they will not, if they actually went out and burned some, then there's going to be big discrepancies in the number of ballots they get counted and the number of ballots they reported were there. Well, that's serious criminal behavior, serious. Now, of course, because we no longer live with rule of law, thanks to our Justice Department, if they did that, suppose there's 25,000 ballots missing. If they burn 25,000 ballots on the farm, then there's 25,000 ballots missing in the final count. That means surmise from that means there were 25,000 votes that ballots they didn't want anyone to see. They burned them, or they were fake, they were blank, whatever, they were had bamboo in the paper, whatever. That would be why they burned them. That's really another way of saying there are 25,000 acts of voter suppression against 25,000 legitimate citizens. Because if I vote for Pepsi and you submit a counterfeit ballot for Coke, that cancels out my Pepsi vote. So you have suppressed my Pepsi vote, just the same as in these horrible pictures from the early 60s. When you see, some black guy goes up to Selma, Alabama, and he wants to register to vote, and the sheriff sticks, German shepherds on him. What horrible images, and how deeply that transgresses the fundamental notion of our country, that it's consent to the governed as determined by elections. What horrible photos they are. Well, in the example that I just gave you, though, it isn't happening to one person. It happened to 25,000 or whatever the number of missing ballots is. That, you should be just as horrified at seeing that as you would be at seeing a picture of a black man wanting to vote in Montgomery in 1962 and having, sheriffs out there, beating him up or beating him away or something. It's a horrible thing, but it's happening in 1963 and 64 when it happened. It gave us pictures of redneck sheriffs with German shepherds attacking black people. Now, when it happens, it doesn't give you those pictures. It just shows you funny charts on a graph, things that aren't possible in nature. So it's a different picture, but it's the same fundamental thing. It's voter suppression. And in any honest world, this would have been recognized long ago by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, I think they're going to get there on this one when it comes to them. But our DOJ is so politicized that simple chain of logic escapes them. They have become an truth is, Marx has turned out to be correct. Marx says that what we view as a neutral rule of law over society is a big fiction. It's a big smokescreen. Powerful forces behind the smokescreen are pulling and fighting and on the different ratchets and levers and stuff of society behind this neutral seeming rule of law. And nothing would illustrate that better than when everything I just told you turns out to be true. When it turns out, if and when it turns out that the Maricopa audit reveals the kind of mischief that I believe it is going to reveal, then that tells America that for 8 months, all these institutions, 7 months, all these institutions, no, just November, December, and then for, let's say, 6 months here, so 7 or 8 months, all these institutions in America have been telling you, nothing here, nothing to see here. We looked into it. Don't worry. State courts did this. Journalists did that. The DOJ looked into things and they certified this. The EAC, the Federal Election Assistance Commission, looked into it. They certified that. Oh, don't worry. We hired some auditors. We chose some auditors, came in and they checked and they said, all of those things, think of them as big $100 chips. They have slid into the pot. The entire establishment is betting its net worth on this one. I love it. They're betting their entire net worth, saying, you can trust us, you can trust us, without even, they're putting it all into the pot. Yesterday, this morning, the Washington Post came out with another article, a gal named Emma Brown. I thought this was going to be better, and it may be about 2 inches better than what's come before, but it's another article. I thought it was going to push the edge a bit or push things towards truth. It may have more regurgitated the old lies. And like, I don't know how many, a dozen times in the article, it just says, the article is called something like Inside the Shadow Reality of the People Who Think the Election Was Stolen or something. And over in the article, it says these false, it just refers to the false assertions of the president, the false claims, the unground, the baseless claims, blah, blah, blah. It never explains why. It never says why it thinks it is baseless to say these things.
Yeah, they never showed me their debunk. You know, I've never seen their actual debunk. They've just said it. Great point, Patrick.
Well, it suggests they're hoping people are suggestible. So that's all. I love it. I love it. They've all slid their chips into the pot, and I just can't. What they have forgotten. God, this happened to me 15 years ago with Wall Street. I knew that Wall Street had these big problems and it was going to crack. And I came out and said it. I said exactly how it was, the settlement system and so forth. Gosh, for 2 years, 3 years, I put up with every financial journalist in America putting, you know, pictures of me with UFOs coming out of my head to say that the SEC and Wall Street were in bed together, things like that. After 08, they all shut up. And the same thing is right here. They, all these goons have slid all of their chips of credibility into the pot. And when we win this, it's going to take, you know, it's going to taste really sweet.
So what do you think the way going forward? Okay, let's assume, because I mean, we've all seen the evidence, you know, these, you know, we did that deep rig primer from Awaken Greatly, which was awesome. Awakening Greatly on YouTube. Get over there and see it. And they put it together. And like, you know, Brett Baer was saying, oh, cut off Kayleigh McEnany, that saying that we want every legal vote to count. You know, so these people have been running this con against us. You know, so you're saying possibly no jail time, and there's a way to how are we actually going to get the president back in? You know, let's say we get the three states that needed that would add up to 270 delegates away from Biden and to over to Trump. What is your thought process and theory on that, Patrick?
Well, that's what lawyers call remedy. I'm a philosopher. I do truth. I'm about what is the truth, what happened. I really want to leave it up to other minds than mine to say what is the remedy at this point. But I'm all about revealing the truth, and this has to be revealed. I'd say in terms of getting it, whatever plays out, I think is going to play out this summer. If we're still here come the beginning of November, my understanding is if a fake election burns in lasts a year, you never get it undone. So We're getting right there. I think the solution really is going to be, at some point, there's going to be so much that the Supreme Court has to act. There's going to be discontent in the military. The goons are going to come back and try to take on the military. You know, that kind of happened under McCarthy, by the way. They came back. But McCarthy got away with what he was doing until he started pointing the finger at the military and a man named George C. Marshall, and who's a hero of mine, and that was a mistake for McCarthy. I think that they're going to go after the military. The everything other than the politicians who now run the military have to be feeling sick to their stomach. They see what's going on. They're sophisticated and they know what their constitutional obligations are. They're not to follow a man. They're to follow constitutional lawful orders. We're actually coming up to the constitutional crisis. It's really a chance for the Supreme Court to make up for, you know, they're really 0-2 on great big decisions in our history. One being Dred Scott and the other being bending to FDR's threats to pack the Supreme Court and changing American jurisprudence in 1937. They've really been weak sisters on two occasions in our history. This is their third and final shot. The people we're up against have acted with great chutzpah. It's kind of funny. Flynn and I, sometimes when we're together, we kind of say, I hope in one way or another I get to meet the people who did this. I kind of want to tip my hat to them. They're traitors, they're enemies of the nation, everything. But they pulled it off with really military precision. But we're going to get our chance. They did it with Chutzpah. The Supreme Court is going to have its opportunity to give in some information coming out. I'll connect one dot for you that I've not seen connected in the press. Mike Lindell's case, which if you go to Mike Lindell's recent case, there's an appendix in it or an exhibit, a number of them. Exhibit 12 identifies five states and a set of cyber attacks that changed the outcome in five states. Now, it's just, it gives 20 Chinese cyber attacks that did this. There actually were 80 from around the world against those five states, 80 successful ones, of which about 40 came from China, of which just 20 flipped those five states. If you look at the electoral votes of those five states, which we now have real ironclad proof. I mean, we might as well have the hard drives of the guys who did it. Lindell isn't talking through his hat. When he's saying that he's got that, I know the data. When he's saying this should be 9-0, he's telling the truth. And if the judges believe in rule of law, it's 9-0 already. You take those five states, you add up their electoral votes, it comes to 73. If you just take those away from Biden, don't even award them to Trump. Just say, look, we are now see what I figured out by around November 9th, that this election was just so hopelessly scrambled in these five states, we can't even award electoral votes. If you just do that, Biden drops from 306 to 233. And we have that, we may as well have the video of the people doing it. We have them dead to rights. What's going to shock people is there's more data coming out, and this should all be coming out in July. Now, people aren't looking at Lindell's case, or they don't read all the way to Exhibit 12. Every one of your listeners should go to Lindell's recent case, look at Exhibit 12. I can vouch for that data. That data is accurate. And that data is really just one slice of a loaf that is coming. We're going to take that loaf and we're going to take a broom handle. We're going to shove it down the throat of Washington, D.C. So I don't think the system can accommodate what they're doing now. They just can't. People, I mean, honest, patriotic cops, police, soldiers, as they look at the data, they can't in good conscience, they have actually a moral obligation, I think, to analyze and make their own decisions. So at some point, this cannot be swept under the rug. And at some point, either the other side will want to have a talk, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, or this is going to end up in the hands of a federal judge, Supreme Court or otherwise, who will do something about it.
So, Patrick, let's step back real quick, too, because you have actually seen the data absolutely 9-0. And that is somebody actually pressed record on election night on, I think it might be, FEC servers. I don't know, but you can't manipulate that data, right? That data is, I think they use maybe Wireshark and port mirrored. I don't know, but a lot of people don't know technology like you do. And I sold Cisco systems for a bunch of years and talking it over with my friend, you can't, alter that data at all without, I mean, because those are, what is that, layer 7 level, captures, showing, the traffic between, China and, like you said, 80 other countries. But can you explain that to people that don't understand technology very well as to that that absolutely irrefutable proof of catching them in the act as they pressed record on election night?
Sure. Well, when you use the internet, when information travels over the internet, whether it's videos of your kitten that you're put on YouTube, or it's a conversation you're having with someone and it's being bounced through voice over IP or whatever the data is, it's getting broken up into little packets, they're called, packets of information. And, a song, all the frequencies in the song, it all can be broken up into digital information and put in packets. And those packets have little addresses on them and they get sent out into the internet. They find their way through the shortest route and they get to the other person's screen where they get reassembled. Now that's happening 100,000 times a second or 20,000 times a second, that process. But that's what's going on in the background. As those packets move through cyberspace, think of it as being like there's a fog. If you've ever walked around in the fog and things move through the fog, or you see lights through the fog, believe it or not, it creates like a little trail. As those packets move through cyberspace, they create little trails that actually at a deep enough level can be, with the right tools, can be, are getting cap. Well, they have to be getting captured. That's called packet capture, or PCAP. With the right tools, that captured can be recovered and reconstituted, and you can back into the original packets as they move through the internet, and then you move all that together and you get the whole story. So it's been an enormous process. There's been a lot of money involved. There's been cryptography and de-encryption and all kinds of banks of computers and offshore people working who will never set foot in the United States again. You don't want to know how much money and time and why it's taken months. The truth is, we got to the point where, well, I'd even say by April or May, we had the answers. It took Mike Lindell's lawyers till early June to get that. And we're not working together, but we sort of know the same people. I'm behind some of the people. I'm the guy behind the guys behind some of the things, and Lindell's the guy. Anyway, so we never really meet each other, or we've crossed paths a few times, but we're fellow travelers. This information by April or May, we saw what was coming out of it. But what we have now is not just the limited information that was put into that Mike Lindell lawsuit, but what exists now is a lake of such information that concerns the whole United States. It concerns you, things that are going to shock you. I think America will never be as shocked as they're going to be shocked by some of the things that we can now prove. It's really just a matter of, you know, we're laying the cards over. I've one of the times I talked to Mike Lindell, I told him when I fought Wall Street, I learned a lesson. How do you teach the public to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And so we're very carefully, he's very carefully laying out this data as I'm doing other things. But I can vouch for that data in Lindell's suit. I can tell you it is one slice of a great big loaf that's coming. And in August and September, we're going to be got a broom handle, and we're going to be shoving down that loaf of bread down the throat of Washington, D.C.
Now, Mike Lindell is also going to release all of his data that he has, all the proof, to anybody that wants to look at it. I think that's going to happen in July at some point. That's going to be very amazing. And that's why I wanted you to just quickly explain to the listening audience here as to what this technology actually does, you know, and how they actually caught them in the act. And you never interrupt the enemy while they're destroying themselves. So we are going to show you, and you know, by looking at the data and understanding what Mike Lindell has, just with that, you know, the capture, like I said, pressing record, that data is irrefutable. And that's why he's so confident that the Supreme Court will be 9-0. What do you think? Are you going to be involved or at that event when Mike Lindell has anybody, white hat, black hat hackers, come check out the data? Do you have any, thoughts on that?
I know about that event that's coming, and they're going to open it up. And they're going to open it up to hackers around, so everyone can come and, or high-end hackers, people can come and hit the data and test it and look for discrepancies. We've been doing it for a few months. We have super sophisticated computer scientists who are looking at all this and saying this data is legit. This is not faked. It's a huge amount of nothing could have created this data. It all checks out. Anything you pick randomly, everything checks out. So I doubt I'll be there. Mike Lindell and I sort of, we have different fronts in this fight. If he's much better on television, much more of a big personality. He does all that stuff. I generally stay behind the scenes. I peek my head up once in a while and go back underneath. So no, I actually am just about ready to, I'm not saying walk off, but this is going to be all over but the political process. The debate part of this is going to be over sometime this summer. The debate about what happened is coming out in a way that will not be able to be challenged other than you know, if journalists want to just sit there and keep writing articles, well, this is baseless. This is baseless, like little parrots. They're welcome to do so. But they have already really removed themselves, in my view, from the intellectual discourse by doing that.
Yeah, amen to that. Man, wow, this has been a booming of an interview. Thank you very much, Patrick. I know you're pressed for time. You know, we've got 4 minutes, we've got a commercial break. So if you want to wrap it up, but I think one of the most important things that I wanted to get by our listeners, people that are not technical, as to how ironclad the actual technical evidence of foreign interference into our election, how rock solid it is.
I built it $2 billion. You know, they're going to bring up lawyers from Microsoft, like Krebs, who say, oh, this is the most secure election in history. I'm a guy who built a $2 billion internet company. So you make the choice who you're going to believe. They're full of shit. I know what I'm talking about. They're fucking lawyers. Don't listen to them. And no. they're just, and I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, man, it's like there's so many people out there that are now finally starting to see. I'm seeing a lot of people from the other side that are, you know, from the left or whatever you want to call it. I used to think that they were regular Democrats, but they've all a lot of them have gone off the cliff. But, man, I'm really starting to see that it's information that you're bringing out and Mr. Lindell is bringing out and obviously General Flynn is bringing and showing from a very neutral standpoint. You know, more than anything, I just appreciate you guys kind of taking a step back and just like putting the information out there and say, look, all we're doing is saying, look right here. If you just look right here on your own, you can make your own mind up. It's very easy. We're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about calculating physics here for crying out loud. We literally are showing you how they use these tools. It's not like they just used the tools in 2020. And that conversation is getting bigger. And a lot of people on the left as well are realizing, hey, this is something easy to look at. We can show this to our friends and say, look, I don't think that this is legitimate, man. And so the way you guys are presenting this is very neutral and refreshing, actually, Patrick. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I make one last point for you folks?
Absolutely.
This movie has been made in a way, is being released in a way that for the next month, your listeners can make serious money. Yes, the live premieres, this is tomorrow night. And the main parties in Phoenix, we're going to be in Phoenix answering questions. You know, there's some parties going on around the world, I think, and people will be calling in with questions. So we're going to do that. But this has actually been set up so that between June 26th and let's say about August 1st, this movie is going to be available for you to not only to watch online. And if you buy it once, you can watch it unlimited times. But you can set up your own viewings at a price of $1 per seat. So I think a minimum of 200 or 500. So you can go to rent, and this I know this is happening all over. Go and rent your local movie theater. They're closed all over the country. Rent one for a night. You know, buy a 1,000 seat rent a 1,000 seat theater. Sell 1,000. Tickets are 10 or 15 bucks a piece. Have 10 or 15,000, pay $1,000. It's $1 per seat of the theater. Pay $1,000 for that. People can make $10,000 or $15,000 with very little work. If I were starting off again and were a young person and patriotic and wanted to do something for the cause and pick up 10 grand in my pocket change, I would take a week to do this. I wouldn't even take a week's worth. Take you know, at most a week's worth. Organize a viewing in your town, in your church, and whatever. You get the license, which is $1 per seat. That is the venue. Charge people 10, 20 bucks to come in. You'll make good money and you'll be on mark. It's basically a decentralized grassroots marketing army is what we're asking for. And we have incentivized that army by giving you really good pricing. It's $1, you know, rent a 500 seat theater and pay us 500 bucks. If you can sell $10,000 of tickets, more power to you. So we've created the pricing on very economically attractive terms. If anyone out there is needing some money and they don't take this opportunity, it's an entrepreneurial opportunity. It'll take you about 3 days to set up and you can make 5, 10, 15 grand like that. So I'm hoping people around the country, and that's how we pull this through and get around the captured centralized institutions that are trying to block the truth.
Wow.
Boom, Patrick Byrne. Amazing. Thank you so much, sir. And we're going to look into doing that ourselves. So stay tuned. I'll give you the heads up once we actually figure out how to do it. But I think you just really helped us out today. So, Patrick Byrne, we're going to go into commercial. We'll be coming back at 1:05. If you want to stay, you're more than welcome. And
you'll stay.
And I've got you right now. We're actually in commercial right now. And if you wanted to kind of just wrap up that point one more time, because the last minute we've been in commercial, I want to make sure maybe, you know, the MG show, we buy a license and then we challenge our people to, and maybe, you know, split revenues with people and challenge them to do it somehow. If people don't have the 500, we're going to try to figure that out, Patrick.
Yeah, I'd love it. I'd love it. There's really a chance people could make, you know, if we've set this up. We hope people can make $5,000 or $10,000 by working and pulling this through. If you want to be part of it, go to thedeeprig.movie, thedeeprig.movie. And as of about 30 hours ago, the button went live. It allows you to go in and say, on July 10th, I want to have a viewing in a theater for 500 people, and here's my... And it's super easy. I mean, all of this has been work. No, movies no longer take FedExing movie reels around to each other. Everything's done electronically and digitally. You go to thedeeprig.movie, look for the button that says host my own viewing, pick it up. It's as simple as can be. How to get a license, how to set up. It couldn't be simpler. My mom could do it. So, and she's not, I'm saying, because she's not into computers. So, it's really, we really meant it to be an opportunity for people to pick up $5,000 or $10,000 for very little work. Just help spread the movie.
That's amazing. Yeah. So Shady, let's talk about that after this here too. And let's figure out how we can do that. This is amazing. Cause we've played a lot of the actual, you know, clips that have come out from the movie, like General Flynn's backstory. Who else? There was a couple of others. We've played them all. And, you know, I've been pumping it. Actually, Facebook gave me my Facebook profile back on my birthday. I was permanently suspended. And so I'm deep rigging all over the place for you guys, and obviously in our Telegram.
And just so you know, thank you for making those clips, doing that with the clips. But just so you know, those clips are not, it's not like if you've seen all the clips, you can tell yourself, well, I saw the movie. We had 30, 40 hours of great footage, great interviews with so many different people. The movie's under 2 hours. But what do you do with all this extra footage? Steve, the producer, is putting it up in clips. There's all this. So there might be 4 or 5 hours of Mike Flynn's interviews. We're not putting, if he did 10 hours of interviews, we're not putting that up. But maybe we're picking out, let's say, the 2 or 3 hours of the best clips. And that's up online. It's not all in the movie by any means. Only a sliver. These clips you're showing, most of them are not in the movie. I think almost none of the ones Steve has put up are yet in the movie. It's all the ancillary clips that what you're showing. You haven't even seen the meat and potatoes yet. You're just seeing the French onion soup is all you've had. Wait till you get the entree.
Love it. And we'll go ahead and when we come back, we've got 50 seconds. Here we go. You can see it's 1:04:16. We come back at 1:05, and we'll go right into that again, Patrick, because I think people need to hear that as well. Because okay. That's
I don't know what. Go ahead. I don't know what will be repetition and what isn't. So you'll have to lead me.
Yep, I'll lead you. We got you, sir. And thank you, man. Jeffrey Peterson can, the former CEO of Overstock.com, who built a huge business, which I've actually bought him from. I can text him and say, hey, you want to come on the show? I mean, Patrick, I am so honored. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thanks for making the time to come right before your movie comes out. Yeah. Man. We really do appreciate everything.
Love it.
All right, so here we go.